Are you ready for the Word?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to bring a message tonight. It's called Use It or Lose It. Use It or Lose It. And this is a very recent message. So it's the first time I've ever taught it or brought it. It's fresh in my heart. And a few weeks ago when I was just going through it, my heart's very much to see how we can increase in our lives. How do we grow as believers? How do we become more fruitful? How do we become more profitable? How do we go to the next level? How many of you want to go to the next level? How many want to increase in your life? All of us. I hope that's all of us. And so I'm always sort of looking for those gems in the Word of God that just open up an insight. And there was a statement that just caught my eye. And then I thought, you know, I've read that somewhere else in the Scriptures. And I'll just give you what the statement is. Jesus said these words. He said, "Whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away." I thought, my goodness, where have I read that before? So I began to look into the context of where Jesus said these words. And he actually says it five times. But he says it concerning four major areas. Whoever has, more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what they seem to have, will be taken away. Now, I don't want anything taken away. Amen? We don't want that part of it, but we want to know how to get more. And the principle behind it is use it or lose it. That is really, in simple San Bernardino terms, really what it's saying. And so I want to just take us through very briefly, you know, the four major areas that God speaks this word concerning. The first area that this term is used is concerning how you hear. How you hear. And it's concerning our ability to listen, our ability. You know, you can hear and not hear. You can sit in class and just zone out, or you can even sit in church and zone out. Ask some of our teenagers, all right? But Jesus said this about how we hear. In Mark chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus starts out and he says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, we all got ears to hear. But he's saying there are some people that have ears to hear and some, obviously, that don't have ears to hear. And then in verse 24, he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Are you with me? Now, concerning what we hear, the measure that we hear. You know, I worked for many years, Lisa and I were with the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke. We had these mass crusades. And he would preach the gospel. I mean, crowds, they've had crowds of up to 1.6 million people in a single service. That's 16 Rose Bowls in one service. That's a lot of people. And Reinhard Bonnke would preach the message, and then he would pray. And I was a television producer, and I used to zoom my camera in to try and see, you know, some of the miracles that God would do among the people when he prayed. And I remember, you know, he often used to say to the blind people, the deaf people, say, you know, tomorrow, all the blind people need to go and be in this section. So I'm going to pray all over the blind people tomorrow. So that next day, I would set my camera up and I would just, you know, zoom in on all the blind people. And I just wanted to capture that moment as he prayed when the blind eyes opened. Because when I first joined him, I'd never seen a blind eye open and I really wanted to capture it on video. Well, what was amazing is that he would pray and maybe there'd be 50 blind people, but we would sometimes see 5 or 10 of them get their sight. And it was wonderful. The crowd would go crazy and things would be wonderful. But, you know, I would be looking through the lens at the people who didn't get their sight. There was the other, you know, 45 or 40 people. And it really disturbed me. And I once approached Reinhard. I said, you know, why is that the case? And he made a statement to me. He said, "You can either look at what God is doing or you can look at what he isn't doing." It's better that we prayed and 10 new people can see than we didn't pray and nobody can see. So, amen? But I realized that when people would hear the message, there would be people right next to each other, same age, you know, maybe same gender or whatever, and they would both hear the same message. One would get healed and one wouldn't. And I was like, God, do you have favorites down there? But you know what? There are some who hear and there are some who don't hear. And the Bible says we've got to be very careful how we hear. And it can make a big difference in our life. I know my wife was telling me about her grandfather who, was in Italy. She's from an Italian family. And he wanted, as a 10-year-old boy, he wanted to come to America. And so he stowed away in a ship, and he heard the ship was going to America. As a 10-year-old boy, he was a stowaway. They caught him. But he made one big mistake. When he heard they're going to America, he didn't realize it was going to South America. That one word was a big difference. He ended up being in Argentina, and he was one of those gauchos on a farm, had to earn his way. On the second time, he now heard, is this North America? So, you know, hearing a single word, and I began to think of, you know, when we listen to things. If you have a loved one that's maybe, you know, could have been in an earthquake or been in a situation, and you're hearing the news or something's happened, you know, your ears are tuned because you have somebody there that you really love, and you tune in to every name that's announced, to every situation that's going on, every piece of news that comes from an area, you tune in. If you have bought the lottery, which you probably shouldn't buy, but anyway. But say the numbers are being called out on TV and you've got your ticket there. Let me tell you, you're listening. You're saying 22, 22, 24, 18. You're listening. There is a tuning in to what you're hearing. And Jesus is saying, you need to tune in like that to the Word of God. Amen? Amen? So, the first area is, he says, whoever has, more will be given. We see in the book of Revelation, 7 times Jesus makes the statement and says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's just a very interesting statement. Every time he says something to the churches, he says, if you've got ears to hear, hear. So this is the first area, but I'm going to look at one more scripture here. Matthew 13. We're going to pick it up in verse 8. Now you must understand the context is the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is talking about the Word of God being sown. That's what Pastor Jim and Debbie do here every week. Whenever you come to church, the Word of God right now is being sown. It's going forth. The context of the sower is that the Word is going forth and the people's hearts are either receiving it or not receiving it. The last part of it, Jesus talks about all the things that lands on bad ground and thorns and thistles, and he describes what happens. In verse 8, he says, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's the good soil. Then Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came in verse 10 and said to him, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To them it's not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Interesting. In the context of the sower sowing the word of good soil, the disciples say, hey, Jesus, why are you speaking parables? Why don't you just tell them? Why don't you just speak plainly? And Jesus said, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. This is, to me, one of the great reasons our ministry believes in Bible schools. Because what Jesus is saying to his disciples, because you've committed yourself to follow me and to listen, to follow me and allow my word to disciple you, You've committed yourself to be under my word, and you've submitted yourself to me, to the word of God in my life. And you are not just on the edge of the crowd saying, oh, what was that again? I don't understand. You know, Jesus said, you as disciples have committed yourself to let my word disciple and change you. You will understand the mysteries. And when you understand the mysteries, they're going to open up a whole world for you. They're going to increase your life. They're going to cause you. You're going to have, and you're going to have more, and you're going to have an abundance. And so Jesus is saying, you will understand the mysteries. And then he puts into the context, he who has, more will be given. The more mysteries you understand, the more they're going to unlock. The more they unlock, the more mysteries are going to come into light. And revelation is going to continue to grow and flourish and increase. And it's like, God, why do those people have it all? And Jesus is saying, it concerns your willingness to hear. Amen? Are you with me? You know, all my life I went to school. And I always, you know, I grew up in South Africa. I grew up in a very sort of rigid British boarding school. We got spanked if we didn't. You know, we got whipped with a cane if we didn't behave. It was a very, you know, it was a very authoritarian society. And I grew up, you know, you went to school because your parents told you to go to school, because your teachers, you know, it was, you did it, you just did what you were told. There was no real desire to learn. I mean, it was like, cram the stuff in, get past the test, and then forget it all. That's basically, you know, what school was, and that some of you can identify with me. And that really went through most of my, even my university years. You know, I was after maybe that piece of paper, the certificate, the diploma. But then I went to the mission field. I worked with Reinhard Bonnke. I came back, and we were actually preparing to go to Nigeria as missionaries. And I went to Fuller Seminary here in Pasadena for 2 years. And it was the first time that God had me go to school, not for any reason. I didn't go. I left 13 credit units before I graduated, because I wasn't at school for a piece of paper. I was at school because I wanted to understand. I was so hungry. I had seen these massive crowds. I saw what God was doing around the world. And I was like, God, I need to understand this harvest. I need to understand what this kingdom is about. I need to understand your word. I need to understand how to develop leaders and plant churches. God, I'm not even here to get a piece of paper. I'm here to learn. And when that type of hunger begins to come into your heart, it opens up a whole world. Because when you come to church, you're like, God, I just want another revelation. I just want to learn something more. I want something else that's going to change my life. I want some to add to what you've done in my heart. If you're stagnant or going backwards, your heart's becoming hardened. And you're not hearing as you should. Amen? The Bible says that God's purpose, He hidden things. He's created things like treasure. They're in this word is just full of treasure. It's the secrets of life. It's the secret of prosperity. It's the secrets of healing and worship and all the things of God. The mysteries are in here. That God's almost purposely hidden them like hidden treasure. That only those who go after them will find them. So now the second area that we look at here is how we use our talents. We're going to go to Matthew 25, and Jesus tells this parable, and I apologize that it's a few verses, but I want us to see the context of it. Jesus is talking here about the talents that He gives us and the abilities that He gives us. The difference between this and another parable is that everybody in this parable is given different amounts. One's given two, one's given five, one's given one. And this pertains to our abilities, because some of us, you know, are born into a family with a lot of money. Some are born into a family with no money. Some are born with two parents, some with no parents. Some, you know, have incredible opportunities educationally. Other people have no opportunities. There are different things that God gives us. Some people are amazing athletes, and other people, you know, can sing. We all are given something different. And some people seems like they get a lot. Some of us feel like, God, where's mine? Anybody can identify? Matthew 25, Jesus says these words. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants, delivered his goods to them. He gave one 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. He made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received the 2 gained 2 more also. He who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground. And he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came, settled accounts with them. He said to those who received 5 talents, the one who received 5 talents came, and he brought the other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of the Lord.' He also received 2, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2. I've gained 2 more besides.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of the Lord.' He had received 1 talent, came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered seed. I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours.' His Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. See, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with my own with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Amen? You see the context? This is talking about talents. This is talking about what you're given. This is talking about your abilities, but also your opportunities. I really feel like this is, you know, concerning us in the United States. I think we may have a greater judgment than some other countries, because we have more opportunities than most people. We travel around the world and we see, I mean, we have freedom. That we have freedom to worship. There's countries that have no freedom to worship. There's other countries that don't have even close to the opportunities that we have. And so God's given us these tremendous opportunities. He's given us tremendous talents as people. And Jesus is saying, you know, we have to use them. We have to utilize them. And we have to use them in some capacity. And you look at great athletes who, you know, whether it's Michael Phelps in the Olympics, and able to take his talents and turn it into millions of dollars. Because he mined his talent. I grew up in Africa where they have gold mines. And, you know, the whole thing is to find a vein. If you can find your vein of gold that God's given your talent, you can mine it. And it just keeps going deeper and deeper. And you keep mining it. The more you mine it, the more it opens up. The more it brings treasure into your life. So we have to mine the gifts and the abilities and the opportunities that God's given us. I'm just going to give you a few illustrations and we'll go on from here, because this is very important for us in this economy. Because some people think, oh, well, you know, God, I just don't have anything. I don't have nothing to offer. We all got something. And, you know, a number of years ago, I heard of just some people that took what they had. And it seemed like nothing. I preached at a church maybe in the early 1990s, down in Mexicali, in Mexico. And this little church they were all drug addicts. I think 95% of the entire congregation were ex-drug addicts. And they had come to the Lord, and they were just on fire for God. Most of them had not had their education. And I just began to share with them about taking what they have and planting churches. And they planted churches all across the United States. The last time I heard, there were over 30 churches they had planted. And they went with nothing. They used to go to the streets and sell tacos to support the houses that they started. They'd take the drug addicts off the streets. They'd clean them up and put them into a church, and they would just build a church. And one of the sons, his name was Fernando Rivas. He left Mexicali and he went to Chicago. And, you know, he tried to plant a church in the heart of Chicago, in downtown. And it was just, it was so hard for this guy. I mean, he didn't have a lot in terms of he didn't have finances. He didn't have a lot of you know, resources put into advertising. He tried going door to door. They didn't like that. People wanted to shoot him in the places he was going. He tried to go on the streets and hand out tracts, but nothing seemed to be working. And it's like the Lord, he said to the Lord, "Lord, why do I do this?" God said, "What have I given you?" He said, "Well, God, I can sing and I can play the guitar." God said, "Use that." And he said, "God, I got a good testimony. I was a drug addict for whatever number of years, and you saved me, and I'm free of it now." God said, "Use that." So he went downtown to Chicago to Humboldt Park, and he used to go there on Saturdays. And he would just start strumming his guitar, and he'd start playing and singing. And he'd gather a little crowd. And when the crowd was big enough and they were all enjoying his music, he'd stop and he'd give his testimony. And you know what? Through those little meetings, one or two each week would come to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I want a lot of people saved." God said, "One or two plus one or two plus one or two plus one or two is gonna grow." Amen? And he began to mine that talent and mine that was the only thing that worked. Look, if you find something that works just a little bit, it's better than something that works not at all. Because if you use it, it will multiply. Amen? When I preached at his church, he had over 700 people. Most of them he had won on the street in Humboldt Park. Amen? God says, use what I've given you. Now, it doesn't necessarily apply just to ministry. You know, there was a lady I heard in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a number of years ago who had a heart for missions. She said, "Lord, I want to sow into missions, but I'm just a housewife." God said, "What do you know how to do?" She said, "Well, God, I know how to do laundry." She said, "Why don't you go to the apartment complex and why don't you ask a volunteer to do people's laundry? If they'll pay you $5 and tell the people that you're doing this laundry for missions." You know what? She began to do laundry for missions. She'd just do people's laundry. And you know, when people knew that she handed their clothes back all beautifully ironed, and that's what she knew how to do was laundry. So she used it. And people would just hand another $10 to her. "This is for the missions. So this is for the missions." She, over a number of years, she saved over $40,000. And she had a little towel to hold it. And one night, a missionary came by that had been traveling for 6 months trying to raise money for an orphanage. And it was their last stop of their itineration. And the missionary shared and said, "You know, we have $40,000 shortfall, and this is our last stop, and we don't know what we're going to do, and go back to these orphan children. We don't know what we're going to tell them." The Holy Spirit said, "Give it now. This is why I had you do this." She gave it all. Amen? Just one last example, which to me is, my wife's been doing, it's a fitness, and I've actually tried it myself as well. It's a lady by the name of Leslie Sanson. And this woman, all she does is do walking. She has a program which is like Walk for Fitness. And 25 years ago, she got 4 steps. It's a knee lift, and it's a side step, and it's walking on the spot, and there's one or two other ones. I call it kicking and whatever. But you can do it in your living room if even there's 8 feet of snow outside, all right? So she just did this, and she built this repertoire of walking for fitness. Well, it's 25 years later, and all she's got is 4 steps. Out of those 4 steps, she's now built a massive empire of walking. She's got over 25 to 30 videos that she's produced. They're in Target and all the major stores on the internet. And she's built a massive studio with television cameras. And this woman, out of 4 steps, has built a huge industry. And she's got now walking for your abs and walking to lose weight and walking to do Pilates. And I mean, she's just, what you use will multiply. You'll find a million different ways. If maybe you only have one little thing that God gives you, if you start to mine it, and don't be concerned that it just looks like it's nothing, because I'm sure the first time she did a walking video, she probably thought, "Oh, nobody's going to buy this." But it's built a whole industry for her. Amen? It's the same with everything we do in the kingdom, everything we do for God, everything we do in life. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And this principle applies to everything. It applies to, you know, when you do exercise, the more you exercise, the more in shape you get. The more in shape you get, the more easier it is to exercise. And the more you lose weight, the easier it is to lose weight. It's like the more you step into something, the easier it gets. And the more you're able to mine it, the more you're able to do it better. Are you with me? Third area. This is an interesting one. And we're going to try and bring this to a close shortly. Luke chapter 8. It's number one, we've talked about it. It applies to how you hear. It'll grow if you hear properly. Two, how you use your talents and how you use whatever it is that God gives you. However small it is, whatever you use, God will grow it and He will multiply it. And number three, it applies to how you share the truth and the revelation God gives you. Of all the ones that Jesus shares, He shares this one actually twice. So out of the five times He mentions this scripture, two of them pertain to this. So it must be important. Are you with me? In Luke chapter 8, Jesus says these words. He says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those that who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Again, He's ending up the parable of the sower. And then He says these words, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him." Now, the context of this is a lamp on a lampstand. The other scripture talks about a light on a hill. It's pertaining to this principle. And I began to think, and whenever I've read the scripture where nothing's secret that will not be made known, I always think of this giant big screen in heaven. You know, and all your sins get shown up there. It's like, you know, "Oh no, Lord, please don't show this part." All right. Have you ever had those visions or thoughts? I mean, be honest, come on. This is not what that's talking about. What it's talking about, it says those who receive the word with a good heart will bring forth fruit. And then it says, no one who has a lamp puts it under a bed. They shine it. What he's talking about is us. That whatever God shows you, whatever you learn in here tonight, whatever you learn in church, whatever you learn from a teacher on television, or however from the Word of God, if you shine it out, don't hide it under a bed. Don't hide what God shows you. Because if you shine it out to other people, then it's going to begin to unfold mysteries in your life. The more you share the revelation you get, the more God's going to give you. And the more is going to be revealed to you. If you are like the Dead Sea and you just hold it in, "Well, that's my revelation, I'm not going to tell anybody about that," then it's going to go out. But the more you share revelation, the more God's going to give you. And the more secrets are going to be revealed. Many, many years ago, I struggled all through my after college and during college and then maybe 10 years after. I struggled with the thoughts of the mind. I warred with them. And I couldn't overcome them. And the cycle I got in was just, you know, I would be worshiping God and an ungodly thought would come to my mind. I would try and cast it down. I would try and bind the enemy. I would throw scripture at it. I did everything I knew how. And I couldn't, the more I tried not to think about it, the more I thought about it. It was like driving me crazy. And of course, by that time, you know, the worship was gone and I was still fighting with my thoughts. And I struggled with that area for years and years and years. And of course, the devil came and sat on my shoulder and he's like, "Remember what Jesus said? If you even think about it, you've committed it in your heart." And I'm thinking, "But I didn't want to think about it." "But you did." But, you know, and it's like this cycle and it was driving me crazy. And it took me 13 years to get victory. 13 years. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. I had people pray for me, cast the devil away, do whatever. I mean, I went through all of that. Didn't work. Because the Bible says anointing breaks the yoke, but only truth makes you free. You have to have revelation truth to become free of something. And so out of that came this message called Conquering the Sin Nature. And when God finally gave me right, revelation, I have had, if people said to me, if there's one message you have to leave behind in the world, it would be this one. Because it set me free. And I want to just shout this from the housetops, because there's thousands of teenagers. There's people, young and old, in every walk of life. I thought, you know, everybody else is worshiping the Lord like an angel. But you know what? I found out they're all facing the same struggle. And so, when God gives you something, and He may only give you a few messages in your life, but you may get something that you learn. I mean, pass it on to your children. Pass it on to your friends. Share it out. Share it out. Let it flow. Because the more that you share the revelation God gives you, the more God will give you and multiply it. Amen? Last area. Can you take one more? So we have what you hear, the talents that you have, sharing the truth God gives you, putting your light in a lampstand, and lastly, in Luke 19, Jesus tells the second parable that sounds like the parable of the talents, but it's not. In Luke 19, it says, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom to return. He called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. How many minas did he give them? And how many servants were there? 10. How many minas did each servant get? 1. Got 10 servants and 10 minas, and he gave them to them. I don't imagine that 3 got nothing and 4 got... They didn't. Each of them got 1. Are you with me? In the parable of the talents, 1 got 2, 1 got 5, 1 got 1. This parable, they all got 1. Are you with me? So he says, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. So it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much each one had gained by trading. So they had obviously used it and gained something. Then came the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. He said to him, well done, good servant, because you are faithful little, have authority over 10 cities. Second came, said, master, your mina has gained 5 minas. He said, you also be over 5 minas, over 5 cities. Another came, saying, master, here is your mina which I've kept, put it away in my handkerchief. I feared you because you're an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, you reap what you did not sow. He said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? At least at my coming I would have collected it with interest. He said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. But they said to him, master, he's got 10 minas. For I say to you, that everyone who has will be given. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Same scripture. Now, the Lord began to open up. It's like, what do we have that we're all given the same? These are the things that we have, that we all have the same. We all have the same Bible. Amen? God's given it to every one of us. We all got it. We have the same promises in that Bible. We all have the same salvation. Jesus said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's open to everybody. It's not like one person gets saved and another person is not allowed to get saved. Everybody who wants to can get saved. We all get the same salvation. We all get the same Holy Spirit. It's not like one person gets more or one person gets less or one person gets a different Holy Spirit. We have one Holy Spirit. And when we receive Him, we get the same Holy Spirit from God. We get the same 24-hour day. The Bible says in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. That's when everybody gets it. We get the same day. We've got 24-hour, wake up in the morning. We each have a certain amount of time to fill. We have the same amount of time to pray. We all have the same amount of time to worship. We have the same grace given to by God, the same love, the same mercy, the same truth. And we all have the same access to God's faith. and to the things that He's given us in His Word. See, God's given all this. There's something He's given us that are unique to us that we have. But there are other things that we each have that we all have in common. And when we come into church here, when we come into services, it's interesting how we use that 1 hour, of hour and a half of time. A lot of my staff, that I have 26 employees in my ministry, a lot of my staff, I've chosen them because I've been in a service where I saw them worship. And there's some people that are just like, oh, Lord, we bless you, clap the hands. There's other people who press in and worship with all their heart. They're all in the same service. They have the same time. They have the same everything. But some people choose to use that time differently. They choose to put the different heart behind it. They choose to do things in a different way. And God says He looks at that. That is what? That is using that time, not just as, oh, let's pass the time, but let's use the time. Let's use that word. That word's been given to all of us. We all have access. We can read it 1 minute a day. We can read it not at all. Or we can study it and give our hearts and lives to it. We all have it. And it doesn't seem like it makes a difference right now. But it will make a difference in the future. And there is a day coming where God's going to say, well, how did you use that 1 hour I gave you? How did you use that time, those days, those hours? How did you use that? And it does make a difference in terms of the things that we all have in common. It's an interesting thing that God, puts before. And I want to close with a story that's a true story. When Jesus was sitting by the treasury, the Bible says he watched. Because this is an area as well, and when it comes to, we're all given resources of some kind. Some of us are given a few dollars, and some of us are given a few hundred, some a few thousand, some even more than that. But when it comes to our resources, God does not look at us dependent on how much He gives us and how much we give into His kingdom. The equation that God uses is what portion of what He gives us do we give into His kingdom. So if we're given $1,000 and we give $10 in the offering, it's different than, if we give 100 or we give 500. It's not a question of how much we give, it's how much of what God gives us we give that touches the heart of God. So Jesus is sitting watching the treasury, and He's watching these people come and just dump large amounts of money into the treasury. And a woman comes in and puts in 2 mites, which is 1/64th of a day's wage. 1/64th of a day's wage. And Jesus stands up and He calls His disciples and He says, that woman just touched my heart. Because everybody else gave out of the abundance that they have. But that woman gave everything in her livelihood. She gave everything she had. And that is what touched the heart of God. You see, there's a level playing field. Because it's not based on how much. It's how much of what you have that is the percentage that you give that touches the heart of God. And it's that same thing when it comes to our time, when it comes to all of these areas, God looks at those things. And the Bible says the same promise applies. Whoever has, more will be given. Those who use what I give them in all these areas, they will get more. I will continue to pour out abundance. I will give them beyond measure. I will pour out, and even the people who don't use them, I'm going to take theirs and give it to the people who have. So if you want to have a lot, use what you got, and you're not going to get just yours. You're going to have that multiplied and get somebody else's who's not using it. Amen? Are you with me on this principle? This is the closing story. This is a true story of a little girl. And it's called 57 Cents. A sobbing little girl stood near a small church from which she had been turned away because it was too crowded. "I can't go to Sunday school," she sobbed to the pastor as he walked by. Seeing her shabby, unkempt appearance, the pastor guessed the reason. And taking her by the hand, he took her inside and found a place for her in the Sunday school class. The child was so touched that she went to bed that night thinking of the children who have no place to worship Jesus. Some 2 years later, this child lay dead in one of the poorer tenement buildings, and the parents called for the kind-hearted pastor who had befriended their daughter to handle the final arrangements. As her poor little body was being moved, a worn and crumpled purse was found, which seemed to have been rummaged from some trash dump. Inside was found 57 cents and a note scribbled in childish handwriting which read, "This is to help build the church a little bigger so more children can go to Sunday school. This is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school." For 2 years she had saved for this offering of love. When the pastor tearfully read that note, he knew instantly what he would do. Carrying this note and the cracked red pocketbook to the pulpit, he told the story of her unselfish love and devotion. He challenged his deacons to get busy and raise enough money for the larger building. But the story doesn't end there. A newspaper learned of the story and published it. It was read by a realtor who offered them a parcel of land worth many thousands of dollars. When told that the church could not pay so much, he offered it for a 57-cent payment. Church members made large subscriptions. Checks came from far and wide. Within 5 years, the little girl's gift had increased to $250,000, a huge sum for that time. It was near the turn of last century. Her unselfish love had paid large dividends. When you're in the city of Philadelphia, look up Temple Baptist Church with a seating capacity of over 3,300 and Temple University, where hundreds of students are trained. Have a look, too, at the Good Samaritan Hospital and at a Sunday school building which houses hundreds of Sunday scholars so that no child in the area will ever need to be left outside at Sunday school time. In one of the rooms of this building may be seen the picture of the sweet face of the little girl whose 57 cents so sacrificially saved made such remarkable history. And to me, that epitomizes all we're sharing tonight. It's the heart that's behind how we use our talents, how we give our gifts, how we worship, how we use everything that God's given us, the freedoms that we have in this nation, how we use what God's given us in every area, how we hear. Let's never let our hearts become hardened. Keep our hearts tender. Let's keep have ears that always listen, that always search, that always seek. Let's have hearts that are tender to His Word. Let's use the talents, even whatever God gives us. God, let me just use what I have. I don't even know if it's going to do any difference, but I'm going to start using it. And then let's use the things that He's given us. Let's share what He gives us so we keep proliferating out and that God will multiply every area of our lives and bring forth the harvest that He wants in our lives. How many of you got something from the Lord tonight? Amen.